بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Well, dear brothers and sisters, so here we are again one more time, and we're talking about intentions, and we've been talking about intentions for 4 episodes, and this is going to be, inshallah, the final episodes in this concerning this topic, which is intentions. We started with the very famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deeds are based on intentions, so everyone is going to be rewarded according to his own intention. So whomsoever immigrated for God and his messenger, so he immigrated for God and his messenger, and whomsoever immigrated for worldly gain or for a woman to marry, so he immigrated for what he immigrated for. So this is the hadith that we started these episodes with, and today also we're going to complete and conclude what we started 4 episodes ago. We're going to give you also some more hadith and some more sayings by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning intentions, until inshallah we try to make things clearer and clearer. May God guide us and guide you to whatever He loves. Now, so the first hadith of today is Allah's Prophet said, if two Muslims meet each other with their swords, then both the killer and the killed one are in the hellfire. So one of the companions asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah's Prophet, it's all right for the killer, but what about the killed one? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the killed one was eager to kill his opponent. Now listen to this again. This is a very great hadith, and it sets a very important principle here in Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when two Muslims fight with the swords, and exactly if two Muslims meet each other with the swords, then both the killer and the killed one are in the hellfire. So another companion asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a normal question, a natural question, oh Prophet, so we understand that the killer is going to be in the hellfire, but what about the killed one? He was killed. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he was eager to kill his opponent. Which takes us back again to the idea of intention. Because every deed is based on intentions. The killed one didn't kill his opponent, but that wasn't his intention. He was ready to kill him. This is what he wanted, and this is why both of them are going to be in the hellfire. Because the killed one didn't have a clean intention. Okay? So for the killer, it is well known, because God says in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And God says in the Holy Quran, if a man kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, to abide with him forever. And the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a dreadful penalty is prepared for him. So this is very clear here. If a man kills a believer intentionally, his recompense is hell, to abide therein forever. Now, so we understand fully that the person who kills his Muslim brother is in hell. I mean, who said that? Allah told us. And this is also what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith. But we understand also that the intention of the killed one is going to lead him directly to hell. And that makes us again think about intention. Intentions are very important. Intentions are very important. You may be thrown into hell just because of the terrible intention that you have. Okay? For example, you have a knife and you want to kill your Muslim brother. Or you want to kill somebody who is innocent. You want to kill an innocent man. So you took this weapon to kill this innocent man. While trying to do that, you died. So you didn't have a chance to complete what you were about to do. But your intention was terrible. Do not expect that your destiny in the hereafter will be very good. Why? Because your intention in this life was not so good also. It was very terrible. So this is a very important idea here. But also we need to understand something. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about these two men fighting together, these two Muslims fighting together, and both of them are going to be in a hellfire, even the killer and the killed one. Why? Those two persons were not fighting for a reasonable reason. For example, not all Muslims are good. And this is normal. Not all Muslims are good. You can find a Muslim who is a thief. And you can find a Muslim who is an adulterer. It's normal. They are like any other people. Okay? So, if I am a Muslim and another Muslim is going to attack me, attack my house, attack my flat, or to steal stuff from there, I have the right to defend myself. I've got the right to defend myself. This is my money. I have to defend it. So while defending my money against this thief, against this burglar, he tried to kill me. He got a weapon. What am I supposed to do? I've got the right also to defend myself and defend my family, and defend my money. So what would happen if he killed me? And what would happen if I killed him? Now let's listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining and giving us some information in detail about this situation. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is narrated by Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He who is killed while protecting his property is a martyr. And he who is killed while defending his family or his blood or his religion is a martyr." Which means that if you are killed while defending your family, you are in heaven. If you are killed while defending your money, you are in heaven. Because this is what you've got to do. This is what you've got to do. So look at this. And another hadith which is very important, and it's narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, may God be pleased with him. He said, a person came to the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, and said, "Messenger of Allah, what do you think if a man comes to me in order to appropriate my position?" So he, the Holy Prophet, said, "Don't surrender your position to him." So he asked, "If he fights me," so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, "Then fight him." So he said, he asked, "What do you think if I am killed?" So the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You would be a martyr." Then he said, the man asked, "What do you think of him if I kill him?" And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He would be in the fire." And we can extract lots of important lessons out of this hadith. And out of this hadith, we can get a real map that we can work according to in this society. In this society, a Muslim has the right to defend himself, his money, his family, even against bad Muslims. So if a Muslim who is a thief is trying to steal my money, I've got the right to defend myself. If he killed me, I'm a martyr. Because I was fighting for something that is right. I was fighting for my right. And if I killed him, he is in the fire. Why? Because he was asking for what is not his. He was trying to get something that he does not deserve. Something that is not his. So this is the idea here. This is the idea here. Okay, cool. Now, another hadith also, and it's part of the, it's also about intentions. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was narrating about his Lord, about Allah, about God. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ordered that the good and the bad deeds be written. And he then showed the way how to write. If somebody intends to do a good deed and he does not do it, then Allah will write for him a full good deed. And if he intends to do a good deed and actually did it, then Allah will write for him in his account with him its reward equal from 10 to 700 times to many more times. And if somebody intended to do a bad deed and he does not do it, then Allah will write a full good deed in his account with him. And if he intended to do it, to do this bad deed, and actually did it, then Allah will write one bad deed in his account. This is a very great hadith, a very amazing one. And it shows how merciful God is, how great God is. Look at this. So, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praised his name. God ordered that bad deeds and good deeds should be written. And angels are going to write every bad deed we do and every good deed we do. And on the hereafter, we're going to stand in front of God and we're going to read all what we did in our lives. Everything. Every single word. Every movement. Everything will be written. Good or bad. So God ordered angels to write every good thing. So, if I intended to do something good, but I didn't do it, God is going to write one good deed. Just because of a pure intention that I had. And if I did it, God is going to write it up to 700. Like some people are going to get it as 10 deeds. Some people are going to get it at 700, subhanAllah. And if I intended to do something bad, then I didn't, God is going to write it as a good deed. Because I had a bad intention, then because of the fear of God, I decided not to do it. But if I intended to do something bad and I did it, God is going to write just one thing that is a bad deed. One bad deed is going to be written here. So subhanAllah, God is making everything easy. God is making everything easy for a Muslim in order to go to paradise, in order to get into heaven. And we need here in this hadith to differentiate between two writing here. Because we have a writing in the very beginning, we call it writing everything in the preserved tablet. For God said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. All what we do right now is written in a preserved tablet. And the preserved tablet is with God. And in this preserved tablet is all the deeds of human beings. Everything is written up there with God. And this is why God said again in the Holy Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِالْقَدَرِ. Verily, we have created all things with qadr. What is qadr? Divine preordainment of all things before their creation. This is what we call qadr. Predestination. So some people will ask, because this is a very important point here. Some people will say, if God has written everything in the preserved tablet, or God wrote everything in the preserved tablet long time ago, so are we forced to do what we do? We say, no, we're not forced. Because writing everything in the preserved tablet doesn't mean that we are forced. It means that this is the knowledge of God. This is what God knows. But God did not force anybody to do anything. Now let's explain that in a more detailed way. For example, let me give you this example. If you've got a teacher, and this teacher has a class that is full of students, and he has some good students and some bad students. Okay, so look at this again. We've got a teacher, and he's got a class, and in this class, some bad students and some good students. And this teacher, because of his knowledge, and because of dealing with this class, he knows exactly who is good and who is bad. And because he is the teacher, so he knows who's going to fail and who's going to succeed. He can evaluate things, he knows, but he did not force people to fail, and he did not make others succeed. They have the choices, but he understands and he knows. So, it is the same situation here, subhanAllah. I mean, look at this. God created us. He knows who's going to be good and who's going to be bad, but he didn't force bad people to be bad, and he didn't force good people to be good, but he knows. This is his knowledge, and God wrote his knowledge in a preserved tablet. This is what Muhammad will do, this is what George will do, this is what Christopher will do, because God knows. But he didn't force Christopher to do this, and he didn't force Muhammad to do that, and he didn't force George to do this. No, but everything is written. So God knows, but he does not push you to do it. So somebody also will ask a very important question. If God knows what we are going to do and everything that is going to happen and all our deeds are written in the preserved tablet, as you say, so why should we pray to God? Why should we call upon God? I mean, if everything is already written and nothing will be changed, so why should we ask God for anything anyway? I say that God in the Holy Quran told us that only one thing could change, okay? Only one thing could change what was predestined for you, which is calling upon God. When you call upon God and when you ask God, God will change things for you. You got the idea. So God changed things for you when you call upon Him. When you ask God, God changes things for you. So that's it. That's it. So this is the first writing here of it. The second one is the writing of deeds that we talked about by angels in this life. You do a good deed, angels write it. You do a bad deed, angels also write it. And all these good deeds and bad deeds are going to be shown to you on the Day of Judgment. Okay, now. Another important thing, okay, and another important point concerning this hadith. In part of the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a man intended to do a bad thing, but then he decided not to do it, it's going to be written as a good deed in the sight of God. But under one condition here, that you leave this bad deed only for the sake of God, not for the fear of humans or the fear of other people. For example, A man decided to break into a house. And when he was about to break into this house, he remembered God. And he became afraid of God. And he remembered that God is watching. So he decided not to get into this house. So this man is going to get a reward. And it's going to be written for him as a good deed. Why? Because he didn't do it for the fear of God. But if a man was about to break into a house, then he heard the siren of a police patrol. And he decided not to break into the house. Is it going to be written for him as a good deed? No, he didn't leave it for the fear of God. He left it for the fear of people. So it has to be only for God, which is also related to your intention, your heart. Why didn't you do this bad deed? Was it for God or for others or for other reasons? Great. Another hadith here. And it's narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, And this is one of my favorite hadith. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the story of three people from other nations before the nation of Islam. And from the stories of these three people, we're going to get morals, lots of morals. Morals that are going to help us in our life today and also in the future. And the story goes like that. The Prophet said, while three persons were walking, rain began to fall and they had to enter a cave in a mountain. A big rock rolled over and blocked the mouth of the cave. They said to each other, invoke Allah with the best deed you have performed, so Allah might remove the rock. One of them said, O Allah, my parents were old, and I used to go out for grazing my animals. On my return, I would milk the animals and take the milk in a vessel to my parents to drink. After they had drunk from it, I would give it to my children, family and wife. One day, I was delayed, and on my return, I found my parents sleeping. I disliked to wake them up. The children were crying at my feet because of hunger. That state of affairs continued till it was dawn. O Allah, if you regard that I did it for your sake, then please remove this rock so that we may see the sky. So the rock was moved a bit. Now, this is the story of the third person here, told by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a person who was very kind to his parents, and we know that God ordered us to be very kind to our parents, and we're not supposed even to say a single bad word to them, even to look at them in a bad way. We're not supposed to do that at all, or the punishment of God is going to be severe concerning this. Even if our fathers and mothers are pagans, we're not supposed to be harsh to them. We're not supposed to deal with them badly. Even if they are not worshipping God, we have to be nice to them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is very, very important in Islam. And look at this person. He's from a nation before Islam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us the story of this person. That he was in a cave. And a rock rolled, okay, on that cave, so they cannot go out. Three persons. One of them was this person who used to be very good to his parents. He used to milk his cows and animals and get this milk to his father and mother and feed them first. Then he take the rest to his wife and children. He used to do that because he used to prepare his parents. he used to make his parents fast, and this is what everyone should do. Your parents come first before anyone in this life. They come first. So, when he went to his parents, he found them sleeping. So subhanAllah, because of the kindness in his heart and the tenderness in his heart, and because he was very good to his parents, he refused to wake them up. And at the same time, he didn't want to make anybody drink this milk before them. So he kept standing on his feet, waiting for them to wake by themselves. He didn't want to wake them up. And he didn't want even to take the milk to his family, to his wife and his kids. And he kept waiting for his parents to get up. Till dawn, subhanAllah. From night till dawn. Then when he was in this terrible situation, and he called upon God, he said, "Oh God, if you know that I did that only for the sake of you, so just move this rock away from us." And the rock was moved, and God answered his call. Now the second one, and again with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the second said, "Oh Allah, you know that I was in love with a cousin of mine, like the deepest love a man may have for a woman. And she told me that I would not get my desire fulfilled unless I paid her 100 dinars. So I struggled for it till I gathered the desired amount. And when I sat in between her legs, she told me to be afraid of Allah. She said, 'Fear God,' and asked me not to deflower her except rightfully by marriage. So I got up and left her. Oh Allah, if you regard that I did it for your sake, kindly remove this rock." So 2/3 of the rock was removed. Now second person, he was about to commit adultery with the girl he loves. Finally, he could finally get the money that this lady wants in order to commit adultery with her. And at the last moment, when he was about to get the job done, at the last moment, this lady lying on her back, she said, "Fair Allah." She said, "Fair Allah." And that shocked him. In this situation, that shocked him. And the fear of God penetrated his heart. And he couldn't. He couldn't go on. And he just left her. So he said, "Oh God, if I did it only for the sake of you, so take this rock away from us a little bit." So 2/3 of it was gone. SubhanAllah. Now, the common person. The third man said, "Oh Allah, no doubt you know that once I employed a worker. For a sum of money, or for a sum of millet. And when I wanted to pay him, he refused to take it. So I sowed it. I sowed the millet. I sowed it, and from its yield, I bought cows and a shepherd. After a time, that man came and demanded his money. I said to him, 'Go to those cows and the shepherd and take them, for they are for you.' He asked me whether I was joking with him. I told him that I was not joking with him, and all that belonged to him. Oh Allah, if you regard that I did it sincerely for your sake, then please remove the rock." So the rock was removed completely from the mouth of the cave. And this is the third person. A very honest person. Honesty that is lost these days. Honesty that is hardly found these days. You hardly find an honest person. You hardly meet an honest person. A person who hired someone to work for him, And this hired person refused to take his money. So he took the money or the millet. He sowed it. He used it. He traded with this money until this 100 pounds became 1,000, and the 1,000 became 5,000, 10,000, millions. Then when this hired person came after a long time asking for his money, he said, look at this, you see all these cows, and you see this shepherd, this is your money, take it. The man thought he was joking, he couldn't believe it. So he told him about the story, and that he traded with his money, and all this is his. So subhanAllah, for his honesty, and because he did only this for the sake of God, God moved the rock, the last part of the rock, it was finally removed away from them and they were saved. So subhanAllah. We've got morals out of this hadith. We talked about first one, being nice to your parents. Number two, being modest. And being modest, not for the sake that people say that you are a nice person or a respectful person, but being modest because you love God and because this is what God loves. So this is your intention. Number three, being honest. And for the same reason, so that God loves you. Not so that people love you and people say that you are an honest person. No, for the love of God. And number four, showing how great Allah is. We can see that. And it's very clear here in this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just moved this huge rock. God just answered them. And this is why God says in the Holy Quran that He listens and He answers those who are righteous. So if you truly want God to answer your call, if you want God to achieve what you want, you have to be righteous first. You have to love God. So God help you and love you. Shahr ibn Hawshab, and he's one of the followers of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, a man came to Ubadah ibn Samit. A man came to Ubadah ibn Samit and said, what do you say about a man who prays for the sake of God and he would like people to praise him as well? Look at this important question. Shahr ibn Hawshab is telling us about a question that was asked to Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him. A man asked him, what you say about a man who prays for the sake of God and he would like people to praise him as well? So he prays for God and, well, no problem, he wants also people to say that he's a very good person because he prays and things like that. So Ubadah ibn Samit said, such a person has nothing in the hereafter. For God said, I am the best partner. So whoever has a partner along with me, I leave him with his partner. Again, Ubadah ibn Samit said, such a person has nothing in the hereafter. Why? Because if you want to get a reward, you do the action only for God. If you want a reward from God, do it only for God, not for anything else. Because God said, I am the best partner. So whoever has a partner along with me, I leave him with his partner. God does not need a partner. If you do it for God, so it's for God only. If you want to get a partner alone with God, you get nothing. You go nowhere. And another also situation here, and very nice words for Ibn al-Qayyim. May God have mercy on him. Ibn al-Qayyim said, a deed without sincerity is like a traveler carrying sand in his bag, a heavy load that doesn't avail him. Again, a deed without sincerity is like a traveler carrying sand in his bag, a heavy load that doesn't avail him. Imagine, a traveler carrying sand. What for? Why would a traveller carry his hand with him? What would he do with it? Nothing. It's just a heavy load. No benefits. Exactly. A man who does an action for the sake of people, not for the sake of God. Why are you doing it? You are tiring yourself to not do it, because you're not going to get any reward from God in the hereafter. So if you do something without being sincere, without being faithful to God, not for the sake of God, do not do it. I do not expect any reward from God for it. So actions should be for the sake of God. Deeds should be for the sake of God and God only, without no partners. Now, a man from the Arab Bedouins, and he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and became a Muslim and a follower of the Prophet. Then, before Khaybar battle, this man was given some of the booty by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fought some battles, and he was supposed to get a share from the booty. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a man to this Bedouin who became a Muslim with part of the booty, that this is your share, divided to you by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the man looked at this sum of the booty, or this share of the booty, and he went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "What is this?" So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "This is your share, this is your right from the booty." So the man said, "I didn't follow you for this, O Prophet. I followed you, I became a Muslim, and I immigrated along with you, and I followed you so that I fight with you, so that I may be hit with an arrow that penetrates my neck from here, that an arrow penetrates my neck from here until it gets from the other side, and I die for the sake of God." Now look at what this man said. "I followed you so that I might be hit with an arrow that gets in here and comes out from here." So subhanallah, look at the sincerity of this man. He doesn't need anything from this world, even if it's his right. He doesn't want it. He just wants to die in the cause of God. Why? Why? Is he crazy? No, he was not crazy. But he knew that when he dies for the sake of God, that what comes is far better than what he has right now. And he wanted this house. He wanted this life with God. He wanted to get into paradise. So he wanted to die while fighting, supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to die for that. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If he is truthful with Allah, Allah will make his wish come true." So subhanallah, when the fight started, this man was killed. So he was brought to Prophet, his body was brought to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, he said, "Is it he?" So the companion said, "Yes, Prophet, he is the man." Because subhanallah, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the body, he saw that he was hit with an arrow that got out through his neck from the same place this man pointed to. And let's read the incident together. When the fight started and this man went to fight, he was hit by an arrow in his neck right in the place he pointed at with his fingers. SubhanAllah. So then he was brought to the Prophet, who said, "Is it him?" "Yes, O Prophet of God." So he said he was truthful with God and God made his wish come true. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried him, saying, "O God, this is your servant. He emigrated fighting in your cause, and I am a witness." SubhanAllah. So, this man, this Bedouin, what did he really want? He wanted God and his Prophet only. That what he wanted, and this is why he was given exactly what he wanted. He was given the reward. Now, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu arda, He said, the Messenger of Allah sent Busaysa as a scout to see what the caravan of Abu Sufyan was doing, and Abu Sufyan at that time was a pagan. Then he came to the Prophet ﷺ in his house, where there was nobody except myself and the Messenger of Allah. And then Anas ibn Malik said, I don't remember whether Anas made an exception of some wives of the Holy Prophet or not, and told him the news of the caravan. Now, the Messenger of Allah spoke to the people and said, we are in need of men. Whoever has an animal to ride upon ready with him should ride with us. People began to ask him permission for bringing the riding animals which were grazing on the hillocks near Medina. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I want only those who have the riding animals ready. So the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions proceeded towards Badr and reached there, forestalling the polytheists of Mecca. When the pagans reached there, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, none of you should step forward to do anything unless I am ahead of him. The pagans advanced towards us, and the Messenger of Allah said, and look at this, very important, when the pagans started getting closer to the Muslim army, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, get up to enter paradise, which is equal in width to the heavens and the earth. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the pagans coming to fight against the believers. So he said, get up. He talked to the believers, get up to enter paradise, which is equal in width to the heavens and the earth. Then Umayr ibn al-Humam al-Ansari said, Messenger of Allah, is paradise equal in extent to the heavens and the earth? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Then Umayr said, my goodness. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what prompted you to utter these words? He means, my goodness. So the man said, Messenger of Allah, nothing but the desire that I be among its residents. He wants to be in paradise. He wants to be a paradise dweller. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, thou art among its residents. Very great glad tidings. Thou art among its residents. So Umayr ibn al-Humam took out dates from his bag and began to eat them. Then he said, if I were to live until I have eaten all these dates of mine, it would be a long life. Then the narrator said, he threw away all the dates he had with him, then he fought the enemies until he was killed. SubhanAllah. How great these men were. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the Battle of Badr, he says, stand up, get up to enter a paradise that extends like heaven and earth. So Umayr ibn Ham asked Prophet of God, is it like the heavens and earth? He, SubhanAllah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. So he said, my goodness. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what prompted you to utter such words? So Umayr ibn Ham said, I want to be a paradise dweller. I want to be one of its residents. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are one of its residents. Then Umayr ibn al-Humam, radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him, got some dates to eat. Then after that he looked at the dates and he said, it's going to be a long life until I finish these dates. Then he threw the dates And he went into the battle and he fought until he was killed. Why? He wanted to die quickly in order to get into paradise. Truly believers. They were true believers. And they had clean intentions. They had pure intentions. They wanted what God's. They don't want anything from this life. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this life cruel to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this life kneel on its knees, begging them to take it. But they didn't want to take it. They didn't want to take anything from this life. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them superior in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make them superior also in the hereafter. So I ask God subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I hope that I have a pure intention, and you may have also pure intentions too. May God gather us together in heaven, along with Abraham, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jami'an. So I think this is the end of the first chapter concerning intentions. And inshallah, I hope to see you inshallah next time, and we're going to talk about repentance. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعاً